So you started with the blessings last time. You didn't do the things you changed in the beginning.
Right. So
were you supposed to take the steps forward or back?
Right.
Or,
so we did that in a
spin around or whatever it is.
Yeah. So jump up and down. And yeah. That's a few weeks ago.
Ah, I missed it.
Ah, that's recorded. If you like. All right. So so we're gonna talk tonight. I wanted to do a conceptual introduction to the first bracha. But before I did that, I just want to do a very brief introduction to the first three brachos, because the first three brachos are one unit, and they follow one theme. So, we mentioned last week that the first three brachos are in the group of shvach, of shevach, where you praise Hashem before, initiating or engaging in the bakashos and all of the requests. So that first there's the step of shevach, which, as we mentioned last week, the idea is to appreciate for ourselves to whom we are speaking. And they're split into three brachos. The brachos are called avos, gvuros, and kedusha. The bracha of avos, the bracha of gvuros means strength, and kedusha, which we'll translate for now as sanctity. We'll hope to talk about what all of those things really mean as we go through them. But so these three brachos are, the Rashba says this already, and any early sources say that these first three brachos line up with the three avos, with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the first bracha is there, also they line up with Chesed, Gvura, and we'll call it Emes, and some sarms called Tiferes, that the first bracha is bracha of Chesed, the second bracha is bracha of Gvura, and the third bracha of Yaakov, is the bracha of Emes. And we'll explain the significance of each of those concepts as we come to each one, and we'll try and put those into a framework of important thematic ideas of what the brachos are about. And the first three brachos are a build-up, an intro into the bakashos. The first is appreciating Hashem's relationship with us, which is built on the chesed that he does with us, which we'll discuss a little bit more, develop that point tonight. And then we discuss his greatness in running the world. And then we discuss his absolute sanctity or separateness in his kedusha. And we'll talk about exactly also, we'll try and get to the progression of those three things as being a logical build-up towards tefillah. And just one last point, the Ibn Shuib, one of the early Rishonim, says that the first three brachos, the three Rishonos, are actually framing the mindset that we approach the bakashos, which is that we're understanding that we receive through chesed. The first bracha is focusing on Hashem's chesed, because we understand that what we receive from Hashem, we get not because we earned it and deserve it, but because of Hashem's chesed. And that Hashem is we're getting it from the Baal Yecholes, from Hashem, who is the sole proprietor, who is the only entity capable of following through, and that the Kedusha, that Hashem is Ata Kadosh, that there is no other, that Hashem is the Baal Yecholes, and there is no one else who can provide. All right, so that more general introduction. So the first bracha I wanted to introduce is the bracha. It's called the bracha of avos. The bracha of the first bracha is referred to as avos in the Talmud. It's referred to this way, and you know, on the one hand, the bracha is called the bracha of avos, and it's about the avos. It mentions the avos. We say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's modeled off of the avos as we go through it. We'll explain exactly what I mean by that, but you'll see that the structure of the bracha is really modeled off of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Understand? But on one hand, the bracha of avos is clearly about the avos. It's clearly, you know, a theme of the bracha is the avos. On the other hand, the bracha is clearly focused on Avraham. It ends with Magen Avraham. As we mentioned before, the Rashba says in the structure of Shemona Esrei that the first three brachos line up with the three avos, and therefore the first one is the bracha of Avram Avinu. The tour, as we mentioned, that the tour refers to the Chasidei Ashkenaz, who had these different word connections based off of psukim, of the different psukim that the brachas were based off of, and the numbers of words in the brachos corresponding to different psukim. So the psukim for this bracha, the Torah says that they're corresponding, the psukim corresponding to the words of the first bracha are all psukim about Avram Avinu. That the bracha is structured, the words, actual content of the bracha is structured from based off of three psukim. One of them is, as we'll discuss a little bit, ve'escha l'goy gadol v'avarecha v'agad l'ashemecha, which is the promise that Hashem gave to Avraham when he told him, lech lecha me'artecha, when he told him that you should go. So he told him that I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Then the second pasuk is Baruch Avram Lakel Elyon Kone Shamayim Va'aretz, which is the we say Kel Elyon and we say Kone Hakol. And the third pasuk he says is Ki Adativ Laman Asher Yitzave Espanov Acharav Lishmor. Remember the end of the pasuk, but that the Hashem says, when Hashem explains why he has chosen Avraham, he says, because I know that he will command his children to carry on the legacy, and that's the third pasuk, and that's the Zocher Chasdei Avos Umevi Goel Livnei V'nehem. So these three brachos form somewhat of a pillar of the central pillars of the content of this bracha. And the Torah points out that these three psukim have respectively 8, 9, and 25 words in them, which totals 42 words. And there are 42 words in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. So also this connection to Avraham, that it's all based off of, the whole bracha is structured off of Avraham. Now before anyone goes ahead and counts the words, the Torah did not necessarily have the same exact words as we have in every bracha, but I believe in the first bracha that there are no variations, and therefore it should come out to 42 if anyone wants to double check and count. But some of the brachos, there are variations of nusach between, you know, Sfard and Ashkenaz, and even in Sfard is different. But either way, for our purposes, it doesn't really make a difference. The idea, the structure of the bracha, based off of Psukim Mount Avram. Rashi in Sefer Apardes really goes a step further. He goes step by step through every step of the bracha, and his goal is to show that the bracha has one theme to it, and he goes through every step of the bracha and shows how it's related to Avraham. So not to go through everything that he says, just, you know, some examples. He says, when we say Hakel HaGadol, that's from Ve'escha L'goy Gadol, that it says by Avraham, and we say HaGibor V'Hanora, that Hashem did great things for Avraham. There was the gvuros that Hashem did on behalf of Avraham, that he saved him from the four kings, and all these things that Hashem made his gvura known through Avraham. That Kael Elyon, that we say Baruch Avraham LaKael Elyon, and Gomel Chasadim Tovim, that he repays the Chasadim Tovim, that Hashem made a bris with Avraham, and through Avraham he made a bris for with Klal Yisrael, and he did chesed with Avram, that he visited him after the Mila. Zocher Chasdei Avos, the Rashi brings the pasuk, Zocher Chasdei Avos, pasuk says, Berogez Rachem Tizkor, in a time of anger, Rachem Tizkor, remember Rachem, and Rashi points out that the gematria of Rachem is the gematria of Avraham. And the truth is that even the mention of Avraham of Yitzchak and Yaakov, which we do in this bracha, really comes out of a drasha in the context of Avraham, which is that the Gemara in Psachim in Kuf Tezayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "Ve'ascha goy gadol," that I will make you a great nation. Zesh omrim Elokei Avraham. That's referring to that which we say Elokei Avraham. Va'avarechacha, and I will bless you. Zesh omrim Elokei Yitzchak. That's what we say, Elokei Yitzchak. Va'agad la shemecha. Zesh omrim Elokei Yaakov. And I will make your name great. That's where we get that we say Elokei Yaakov. And hopefully, as we go through, we'll talk about what the connection between each of those steps are. But all of those things are from a bracha that Hashem gave Avraham. So even the mention of Yitzchak and Yaakov is really hinted to from a pasuk, which is a bracha that Hashem gave to Avraham. So, despite the clear implication of the bracha, the name of the bracha, it's the bracha of the avos, and it mentions the avos, but there's clearly a focus of the bracha on Avraham. So how exactly do we square those two things? Is this the bracha of the Avos, or is this the bracha of Avraham, and what's the meaning of having these two things? How does this work? So the midah of Avraham, I'm trying to get a very conceptual understanding here. The midah of Avraham is the midah of chesed. Titein chesed l'Avraham. Avraham was the pillar of chesed. He had the four-sided tent that was open on all sides. And the conceptual idea of chesed is, you know, in a very simple understanding, we translate it as kindness. But the idea of chesed is really, in a more conceptual framework, is a much broader idea, which is the idea of a point of origin which is mispashit, which expands or spreads out or outpours into something else. And, you know, Avram's chesed, you know, the tent with the four openings, that it was really, he had the tent, there was Avram in the center of the tent, and it spreads out to the four directions. The Maharal discusses the idea of four is always the idea of the paradigm of spreading out, of fragmentation, is for the four directions of the world. So he had his tent, which was, you know, him in the middle of the tent with the openings to four sides, is kind of symbolizing this hispashtus, that he's bursting forth, he's spreading out from that one central point into to all directions, that there's this expanding and investing of himself into something else. And the idea, chesed always exists as potential energy. Sometimes in Sfarim referred to as chomer, or we call just raw material, which is given expression by being invested or implanted into something else. In a different context, the idea of chesed corresponds to the idea of machshava, the idea of thought, which is the state of thought in which something exists only in potential. The thought includes the entirety of that which is to be created or executed, but it isn't anything yet. And the idea of thought always, when you express something, when you communicate something, you always have to find the words, even though you know what you mean in your head. But in your head, it's, if you think about it, you might formulate words in your head, but when you think, often your original thought is not even words. It is just concepts which kind of in your head, they swim around and they make sense, and there's an idea there. But that idea is actually only concretized into a communicatable form when you formulate it into words. But before that, when it exists purely as machshava, as thought, it's purely an idea and potential. It becomes actualized into a concrete expression of something later. In a certain sense, you've actually limited it when you've done that. You've turned it from something which was, you know, very broad and wasn't yet restricted to, you know, a specific set of words, into something which, in order to make it real, in order to make it presentable and transmittable to something else, had to be restricted to specific words. But the idea of thought is also the same idea of it's a point which has the potential of something which is not it's almost infinite in potential, but it doesn't exist in any real way. And this the idea of sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila, that the end goal is in the original thought. It's there in thought at the beginning, that you have the end in mind, and that end is going to be a result of the thought which is there at the beginning. So the idea of chesed is the idea of an initial point which includes in it the potential energy of everything that follows. In a certain sense, it's like DNA includes the information for the entire organism that will be created. You know, you have a seed, and if you cut the seed in half, you don't see a little tree. It's the seed has in it the blueprint which will produce a tree. If it's planted and it's allowed to grow and express itself, it grows into something which is, but all that entire product is all there purely in a form of potential. There's no small tree there. It exists as a potential tree, but all of the entirety of that tree is there in the seed, in form, but in an unexpressed form. And that's the sort of what the chesed is that original energy. The Ramban explains in Bracious that when Hashem created the world, that there was first the creation of a small point. If you read the Ramban, it sounds remarkably similar to the Big Bang, that there was a point which was, you know, infinitely small and an infinitesimal point which included in it all of the energy of creation. The Ramban uses a Greek word for it, the word hiyuli, which then expanded and was formed and was shaped into everything else. But the first creation, says the Ramban, that Bria, the creation, fancy term, ex nihilo, the creation of yesh me'ayin, of something from nothing, was the only creation which was something from nothing, other than other than the neshama, was this original point. It's that original point which is where you went from something to nothing, and everything exists in that original point, but it only exists in potential, and that everything is brought out from that original point, expands and is formed into everything else. And this idea is very closely connected to Avraham. The Medrash Rabbah and Bracious Rabbah says, the Pasuk says, Elu toldos shamayim va'aretz behi bar'am. And the Medrash Rabbah says, on this Pasuk, says, Beschus Avraham nivra olam. And the seemingly understanding of the Medrash, that the letters behi bar'am is the same, that could be rearranged into Avraham. So the Pasuk is almost saying, Elu toldos shamayim va'aretz Avraham, or be'Avraham. So the Pasuk is saying, these are the toldos. These are the outcomes or the results of Shemaim Va'aretz. Behi Baram, in their being created. So in their being created, this is the results. That it's the results are wrapped up in the original creation. That's where there's a hint to Avraham. Avraham is that idea of the original point of creation, which has wrapped up in it everything that follows. And that's the toldos Shemaim Va'aretz, are behi bar'am, are wrapped up, are included in a potential form, but nonetheless included in that original creation. So Avraham was that point of origin. Avraham was the beginning in his own existence. Avraham was the beginning of a new type of existence. It's clear in the Chumash, but Chazal talk about that Avraham was not able to have children. Sarai was also not able to have children, and that Avraham was not naturally able to reproduce. And in some Sfarim, they talk about why was it that Avraham was incapable of reproduction. And just to make it clear, Yitzchak and Rivka also had trouble having children, but the nature of the discussion is very different. In the way that Chazal discuss Avraham and Sarah, they weren't just unsuccessful in having children, they were incapable of having children. The Gemara says that Sarah was not just barren, it said, Ein la beis vlad, the Chazal, in Adrasha, they say that she had no womb. She was physically incapable of having children. And Avraham and Sarah, that the Nimrod, when he was unable to destroy Avraham, and he said, okay, we'll leave him alone. The term he says is he's a mule who's not going to reproduce. So what is the idea of that Nimrod felt that Avraham was a mule? You know, what's the specific example? They just say he's an akar, just barren. Was it comparing him to a mule? So a mule or any hybrid creation, any entity which is a new species, the reason that a species is able to progenate, is able to reproduce, is because you are a continuation of what came before you. Because you are a continuation of what came before you, you receive the ability to be, you are the next link in that chain, and within that is the ability to continue that chain. So because I am a human who came from humans, I am therefore able to produce more humans. Part of being the next link in the Masorah, of being the next link in the chain, is the ability to continue that chain. But a hybrid, such as a mule, what's the fancy term for them in English? When you splice two things together, create a new species, whatever the fancy term is, not coming to me now, but anything, they're always barren, they're always infertile, they're always unable to reproduce, because since it's something new, So where did it get the ability to form new versions of itself? If it's not a hemshech, if it's not a continuation of what came before it, then it doesn't have the ability to continue into something else. And therefore, Avraham was a new entity. He was a new species of creation. Avraham was incapable of reproduction because he was a new species and he could not naturally reproduce. He was the beginning of something new. And we'll talk about at some point exactly what that new creation was, but just to put the basic idea down, and we'll hopefully come back to this at some point, but that's the pasuk in we say it every morning in davening, that it says that right before Shir Hasayam, that we say, I say this pasuk in the end of my Shemoneh Esrei, so I should remember it, right? But Atu Shem Elokim Asher Bacharta Ba'Avram V'Hotzeiso Me'or Kastim V'Samta Shemo Avraham U'Matzasat Slavavo Ne'eman Lefanecha. That the point at which Avraham was given the ability to reproduce, the nature of the new entity that Avraham was, that was when the name was changed from Avram to Avraham, that was the point at which he was promised that he would have children, and the letter He is the letter of reproduction, it's the feminine letter, and it's at that point that he was given that ability, is that he was umatzas olavavo ne'eman lefanecha. The new creation of Avraham was a new species, a new mode of existence, which is based off of Emunah, which has Emunah as part of the makeup of that entity. And we'll talk about exactly we'll get back to that, but Avraham, he was the beginning of something new. And therefore Avraham was this idea of a point of origin which includes as being the haskalah, being the beginning, as a point of origin which includes everything else in it. And that was the midah of chesed, the midah of chesed of Avraham was, in a very real practical sense, was the midah of chesed that he had, but in a broader sense was this midah of being the point of origin which then gives to something else. The point of a new haskalah, which is now creating something new and pouring out and expanding to become. Avraham starts from just Avraham to expand into Eschala Goy Gadol, to become a new nation, a new creation. There's a halacha that a bracha, in order to be a valid bracha, needs to have Shem Umalchus. It needs to have a name of God, and it needs to have a reference to God's kingship, God's authority. That's every bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Needs to have Shem Umalchus, with the exception of a bracha which is Samuch, which is adjacent to or addended to a bracha that has Shem Umalchus. But a bracha needs to have, to be a kosher bracha, needs to have the mention of Shem and Malchus. This bracha seems to be lacking that requirement. The bracha of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, it's not samuch to a bracha that has Shem Umalchus. It's not coming off of a bracha that has Shem Umalchus. And it doesn't have any mention of Malchus. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu, the next word in every other bracha is Melech. In this bracha, the next word is Velokei Avoseinu. So where is Melech? So some say that when we say at the end Melech Ozer Moshiach Magen, that's the Malchus. But the Avu Joham and the Tur both say that the mention of Avraham counts as the mentioning of Malchus, because Avraham was the one who first initiated being Mamlech Hashem. Avraham was the beginning of Malchus Hashem being brought into the world. The fact that Hashem is in charge, even if they knew about God, but this idea that God is in control and life is dedicated to God, that this is something that was brought into the world, the Malchus of Hashem was initiated by Avraham, and therefore that satisfies the requirement of having Malchus in the bracha. The same idea that Avraham was the initiator, was the beginning of something, he's the point of origin of Malchus Hashem in the world. So just to put everything back together here. So the Avos, with their different midos, which we discussed and will discuss, you know, chesed and gvura and emes, So the avos, with their different midos, they represent the totality of our relationship with Hashem. And they're the source of our relationship with Hashem. We know Hashem through his hisgalas, through his revelation of himself to the avos, and through the different modes of the relationship that each of the avos had with Hashem, that's how we have our relationship with Hashem, through their initiating, through their bringing out and developing that aspect of the relationship of chesed, and the relationship of gvura, and the relationship of emes, or kedusha. So all of these things, that is really the starting point, the source of our relationship with Hashem. And the entire structure of our relationship with Hashem, as it unfolds through all three of the avos, was all included in potential in that first point in the origin of the relationship that Hashem had with Avraham. And the relationship that Hashem had with Avraham, the first bracha, is the bracha, as we mentioned, of chesed. Chesed is the yesod, is the foundation, or is the origin of our relationship with Hashem. Hashem created the world because he wanted to do chesed. Olam chesed yibane, the world was built in order that there should be chesed. And the basic backbone, the motivation of Hashem's creating the world and having a relationship with us is chesed. And that this bracha, which is describing that relationship, the relationship that the avos had and the totality of the relationship that we have with Hashem, is instigated by chesed. And chesed is the point of origin of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the bracha, this bracha, the first bracha, is really, it's the machshava tchila, it's the thought at the origin of the entire Shemona Esrei. The Gra in the Avnei Eliyahu goes through, and we'll go through this as we go in each bracha, but he goes through how all of the 18 or 19 brachos of Shemona Esrei are really hinted to or referenced in the first bracha, and he goes through the first bracha, or really he goes through the 18 brachos, and each one shows where that bracha is really hinted to or referenced in the first bracha. Because the first bracha is shekula keneged kulam, it's equivalent to all of the other brachos. It has wrapped up in it all of the other brachos. They're included there, the, I don't want to call it the spiritual energy, but conceptually, the entirety of Shemona Esrei is wrapped up into the first bracha, because the first bracha is this idea of the yesod, the origin, that point of chesed, of the original starting point of all of Shemona Esrei. There's a halacha that in all 18 or 19 brachos of Shemona Esrei, that there's a halacha in Kavana that you need to be aware that you're talking to Hashem, right? If you don't know that you are talking to Hashem, then the way Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says it, you're not real. If you're not even, you know, aware of the fact that you're talking to Hashem, then he says you're misasek. You're just kind of like you're just doing an act without any thought. That's not called tefillah. That's not an act of tefillah. So through the entire davening, the basic level to define that what you are doing is praying is that you're aware that you're talking to Hashem. But there's a higher level of kavana, which is in the first bracha, that there is a need to have kavana for the meaning of the words themselves. Not the discussion about the deeper meanings of the words and all these things that you don't have to have in mind, but at least the having in mind when you say the words, what the words mean, that you have to have kavana for the words themselves. And the Rambam seems to paskin that if you don't have, because it really seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that if you don't have kavana in the first bracha, that your Shemona Esrei is invalid. It is a kavana le'ikuva, necessary kavana, different in the first bracha than in the rest of Shemona Esrei, that you have to have kavana for what the words mean. And the reason is the same idea, that because the first bracha sets the tone for the rest of Shemona Esrei, it includes the koach of the rest of Shemona Esrei in it. And therefore, for the rest of Shemona Esrei, it's, in a, so to speak, rides off of the beginning of Shemona Esrei. As long as you're still davening, you still know that you're talking to, you still recognize that you're standing in front of Hashem, so you're still in an active tefillah, but the first bracha, which is setting the tone, which includes, which has wrapped up in it the rest of Shemona Esrei, so that in that bracha you have to have kavana for the words itself because of the central significance of the first bracha in being the point of origin of the rest of Shemona Esrei. And so therefore, we start the bracha of we start with the bracha of Avos because of the relationship that they had with Hashem. They embody the idea of the relationship to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say Avos hein hamerkava. That the Avos they are literally means the chariot of Hashem, but they are the vehicle through which Hashem is expressed in the world. The Avos are that vehicle of Hashem's expression into the world, and the yesod of that relationship that Hashem has with the world is based on the midos of the relationship that he had with the Avos. This bracha is the bracha of Avram Avinu and ends with Magen Avram, and even so it's called the bracha of the Avos because the tchila, the beginning, includes everything that comes from it, and the Sof Maaseh B'Machashava tchila is represented by Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu is Kolel. That's through the bracha that Hashem gave to Avram Avinu is where it's expressed, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov, because Avraham is that origin of the relationship with Hashem. He's the Mid of Chesed, which is the motivation and the point of origin of Hashem's relationship with us, and that includes everything that follows is wrapped up in the Koach, in the power of that first bracha. Okay, I think we'll stop here for tonight because the next point is also going to take a little bit of time. So we will pause here and continue next week.